Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to REWfinancial.com. Rick is gearing himself up, by the way, for the Seahawks-Saints this weekend in Seattle. Yeah, the NFL playoffs are still going on. Sort of forgetting all this.
Well, you know what? That may not happen in the AFC. Did you hear that there's an injunction being filed? I think it's in Western Pennsylvania. Due to the fact that the call was not made on the field regarding the field goal, the person that filed the petition into the courts said that he wants to hold off on the play or on the rest of the rest of the playoffs and go back to that game and either let them kick the field goal again and the winner play Cincinnati or just have Cincinnati have them play off on the field between the Steelers and the Chiefs to see who would go to the the Steelers and the Chargers to see who would go to play Cincinnati. That is not made up, by the way.
I have one word for that and one very important word that should be not misunderstood in any way, shape, or form. Dismissed. All right, so
that's not made up. That is not made up, by the way.
Time to move on.
Is it any wonder people hate lawyers? Me being one of But that's true.
I'm sorry. It's a sporting event. Okay? What, because seven guys lined up on one side of the ball? We're going to sue? Really?
I totally agree with that one. And you know what? It benefits my team if the suit goes through. So I agree with you. I think it's ridiculous.
I mean, what's next? Suing the Hall of Fame over Bettis?
Don't give any ideas, Steve. Kevin's dialing a lawyer right now.
Yes, the wheels are turning.
Yes,
the court injunction would be a temporary injunction of week one to week one week to 10 days of all NFL playoffs to allow Succop to re-kick the ball from 37 yards instead of 41, and/or the Steelers to play the Chargers on a neutral site to determine the sixth seed, or Goodell declare the Chiefs the winner and make the Steelers the sixth seed instead of the Chargers, and/or damages to be awarded to the person filing the lawsuit in excess of $25,000 plus all legal costs. Now, I am very much against the fourth option in this because I get nothing as a fan then.
My only question is, was there a lot of bourbon consumed? All right. Sean Bice posted on our timeline.
Yes.
Sean wrote, Penn State basketball is going nowhere, and he put nowhere in caps. If Mr. Chambers cannot recruit an adequate low post player that other winning programs want. The current talent level in that position, to say the least, is alarming. The current play is what Penn State has been content with for at least 30 years. I've done the games for 32, Sean, so I think you're talking to an expert. All right. Schedule pre-conference. I'm not sure what that word is. Pre-conference. Kev, did you? What's that word?
Press conference.
I don't know what that might be. It looked like one that did not get Titans, maybe.
I guess I'm not sure. Win enough games and be happy getting into the NIT
or pre-conference tin cans.
Oh, tin cans. Okay, it's not split. Okay,
yeah, just
tin cans. Win enough games and be happy getting to the NIT. You can't win with a 3 and 4 guard rotation in the Big Ten. All right, John, let's take this step by step here. Number one, I understand your total and complete frustration with what's going on here. Completely. Now, remember something. Patrick Chambers, we're talking about the time frame as to whether hiring a Penn State football coach, whether it's James Franklin, Al Golden, whomever it may be. We're talking about the time frame. Patrick Chambers was hired in June. Nobody gets hired in June to coach basketball. Nobody. Usually you're hired in late March, early April. You assemble a staff. You get your recruiting going. You get a couple of guys in the late signing period, and then you kind of get into your program. Brandon Taylor is the first Penn State basketball recruit signed by Patrick Chambers. First one. What is he? A sophomore. Okay, that's his first recruit. He's a sophomore. Okay, so now, I mean, technically, he's only into his second year cycle, going into his third year cycle on the recruiting trail. So you have to transform the roster, which they've been trying to do. So they get Jordan Dickerson to transfer. Okay, early stages for him. There you're talking about a seven-footer there that's a post player that's an excellent defender, offensively still needs work. So I understand that. Most teams in the Big Ten, Sean, use a three-guard rotation. Almost everybody does. Okay, Michigan State uses a three-guard rotation. Gary Harris, Keith Appling, Denzel Valentine, they're all guards. Okay, every one of them. I mean, and you know, it's a three-guard rotation with Iowa. It's a three-guard rotation essentially with Ohio State. The three-guard rotation with Wisconsin. That's what they use. Most teams use in today's game because of the three-point shot, which is invaluable. The three-point shot is the shot in college basketball. It's as simple as that. You got to be able to make the darn thing because of the point value. If you shoot 33% of your threes, that's equivalent to 50% of your twos in point value. To illustrate, you take 18 shots, you make 9. Okay, they're all twos. How many points you get? 18. If you take 18 threes and make 6, what do you get? 18 points. That's why 33% of your threes are equivalent to 50% of your twos. It's the single most valuable shot in the game. That's why you play three-guard rotations. Patrick Chambers is still, because he started in that in June and missed out on part of the recruiting cycle, is still in the infancy of his program. There wasn't a single player on his first team that he recruited. None, zip, zilch. Last year he had some. This year, obviously, the vast majority of the guys are guys he recruited. You need to see what the full program looks like. The Pirates told their fans years ago, okay, look, we just took over. Be patient. We're going to build this through the farm system. To which Pirate fans justifiably said, oh, how much longer do we have to wait? Everybody tells us to wait. And then the payoff happened last year. Patrick Chambers is the right guy and understands what's going on. The players have to start getting out there and getting it done. This team, I talk about this element all the time. Because right now, Penn State basketball is fighting confidence. Last night's game was lost because of a lack of confidence. That's why you go 16-20 in the first 35 minutes of the free throw line and 3-10 in the last 5 minutes when the money is on the table. Kevin hates when I talk about money on the table, but it's a fact of life in sports. All right, so you've got to be able to get through that and make winning plays. I'm sorry, getting them to the free throw line to take 10 free throws. Okay, you've created winning plays. Now you need to have execution to get it done. And 3-10 in the last 5 minutes doesn't get it done, and that's how you lose a game by 3 points. Simple as that. This team, I often have talked about how you can never let a loss then become another loss. I talked about the Ohio State game, for example, in football. I said you cannot allow a blowout to Ohio State allow Purdue to beat you. You can't afford Ohio State to then lose you the next game because you're still hung over from it. Penn State had a 20-point lead against Princeton in Rec Hall. Everything built up about Rec Hall, built up, built up, built up. They lost the 20-point lead with 6 to play, lost the game in overtime. They haven't been the same basketball team emotionally since. And Patrick's done everything to build them up, build them up. It's up to the players now, Sean, to pull it up by the bootstraps because guess what? Talent was not the issue last night, and coaching wasn't the issue. Coaching wasn't the issue last night, and talent absolutely wasn't the issue last night. And I'm telling you right now, on Saturday, coaching won't be the issue on Saturday, and talent won't be the issue on Saturday either against Indiana. Penn State's talent is right there comparable to Minnesota. It's right there comparable to Indiana. The difference is a 12-3 Minnesota basketball team on the road had the confidence to outlast Penn State, which lost its confidence down the stretch. That's a big part of what's going on right here. Huge part of it. And as for the part about you can't win with a 3- and 4-guard rotation of the Big Ten, I agree with the 4-guard part, but not with the 3. Everybody in college basketball plays 3 now. It's the way it goes. It's just, and in fact, everybody's been playing 3 guards, Sean, in college basketball for about 15 years now because of the 3-point line. Okay? You do need a post player. No question. Sean, you're absolutely right about that in this statement. You absolutely need a post player in the Big Ten. No getting around it. And Penn State needs a quality post player in there. So, Sean, you are right about that. You're not right about the 3-guard thing. It's just, you know, you got to look at college basketball across the board. College basketball across the board has been a 3-guard sport for about 15 years. The post player, you're spot on. We'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. We're here in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, where we continue to monitor the smokestack and still have not seen official white smoke yet.
You know, I was thinking the same exact thing this morning, and I was just going to send you a text this morning going, have you seen any white smoke yet?
So I've been texting Jack. Jack, or Jack calls me. I'll go, no white smoke yet, dog. Right, right. Tell him that all the time. No white smoke yet.
You know, all of what goes on has gone on is really this media sideshow. And I was just thinking about that as I heard the news at the last half hour.
But you know what, Bob? I mean, isn't that what the fans are asking the media to do?
No, I don't think so. I think the fans, what they really want is the absolute truth. You know, is he going to sign or not? Has an offer been factually been extended? I think the endless speculation and rampant misreporting is absolutely frustrating to a fan base that does want to know really what's happening. I was thinking at the last half hour, the lead news story, Steve, here in the central Susquehanna Valley was the resignation of the Northumberland County Sheriff, Chad Reiner. So you say, well, Chad Reiner resigned today, January the 8th. There is an impending opening for coaching at the Vanderbilt University. Coincidence? No way. You know, you start tying unrelated facts together and make it sound like it's a, you know, a story when it's just nothing. And but, that's what's been going on.
But you know what? And look, okay, Kevin bugs me every day about, can we put this on the website, put that on the website, and the whole thing.
Right.
All right? Okay? There are editors and producers, whether it's newspaper, TV, radio, that are putting pressure on their people. Give me a story. I got to have a story. I need a story. What's the story? And the bottom line is, I keep telling Kevin, just play it cool, don't do anything.
Right.
Because I know it's the right approach. But he wants to put something on the website and push the Facebook thing and push the Twitter thing. No, this is not the moment to do that. Okay? Take, for example, in the situation Penn State's in right now, it's more than just the selection. Guess what the key part of the selection happens to be? Vetting the candidate.
Sure. I was going to say the offer and the vetting.
No, it's the heck with the offer.
Yeah.
It's the vetting, okay? The offer, you can work out whatever. You get an agreement of principle, and you really don't work out the details for another, you know, like all the fine print for a couple weeks. That's fine, mm-hmm. okay? All right? It's the vetting part, okay? Vetting doesn't take 45 minutes.
No.
Hey, and every position here has been like that. Everybody has had to go through clearance, security clearances here, and so forth. All of us have.
But
every single one of us has had to do this. Yeah, so
apparently not at Sunbury Broadcasting for people like me. I got sort of walked through the door without even being frisked. But let me tell you.
That's our mistake.
Yeah, let me illustrate what occurred today on the Patriot News website to illustrate the exact point you made. The Patriot News editors ordered one of their news reporters, not sports reporters, to write a story that said, what is the public relations downside of Penn State hiring James Franklin? Now, number one, he hasn't been hired. Number two, there's only rumor and innuendo about whatever he was involved or not involved with down at Vanderbilt that may or may not be something. And so the reporter wrote this story this afternoon, quoting public relations experts, which basically said this is all a lot of baloney. And so the web comments come in, and this reporter got on to every comment and said, look, don't yell at me for this fluff piece I had to write. I was ordered to do so by my editors. And then somebody said, well why'd you write it? Because they signed my paycheck, but I let them know how disgusted I was with this assignment. I want to go back to news and report real stuff, not this stuff. It was amazing.
Have you noticed, though, I've asked every reporter that's been on the show, and we've had a lot on the show this week, how much pressure, if at all, that they've felt to produce something on a daily basis. Now, certain things have happened during the week that have allowed them to at least produce a story. For example, Fitz taking the Houston Texans job, exiting, then followed by the mass resignations of the other coaches that are going to follow Bill evidently down to Houston. At least that took up a day where they had stories and they could write about it. There's a lot of pressure on reporters to, quote, come up with something. And sometimes at the moment, either everybody's quiet or there's nothing there. And, you know, that's the only area I get concerned where there's a real push on a reporter when the reporter who has their hands in there and they're working hard on something, and they're smart enough to know they don't have enough to write something competent. And that's, you've got to trust your reporter to not just come up and say, okay, great, we need something this particular day. Okay, what do I come up with now? And that's I think, is something that we need to respect what the reporter's job is, how difficult the reporter's job is, trying to find out sources that will talk to them and give them something that they can use. And sometimes there are people that don't want to talk to them because they're trying to protect themselves or they don't have any information. And that's one of the problems with this. You know, it was interesting. You have to look at several sides of this. This is such an important and critical hire that if everybody's just patient for a little while longer, everything will be set, and the volume of stories that will be allowed to be written about the new head football coach at Penn State, about the new assistant coaches at Penn State, about the direction of the program, how the players feel about the program, how the fans feel about the program, and blah, blah, blah. those stories are all there that are going to make great, great copy and great reading for the next 11 and a half months. It's going to be just a fun ride to see. It's just a question of getting through this. And I think the Penn State reporters, the beat reporters, have done a great job of being as responsible as possible, trying to report what is going on to the best of their ability. You haven't had people riding off, you know, half-cocked, trying to tell, here it is. And I was like, whoa, whoa. And it's not right. Everybody's been pretty responsible about this. And I also know they've had a lot of pressure put on them by people ahead of them saying, look, we got to have something. And I don't blame them for feeling that way, because the goal is to get some information out there and sell papers or sell talk shows or sell TV spots.
Au contraire, my friend, mon frere. I think there's been some, and Kevin and I are nodding our heads in agreement here on top of Broadcast Mountain, because I think there's been some incredibly irresponsible reporting by some of the beat report, a couple of the beat reporters.
I think everybody's been pretty cool. I really do.
I know one down at the Patriot News I'd like to bop on the head.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know what?
I won't say which one.
Let's put that in the rearview mirror, yeah, please, because I don't need any more of that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Kevin's giving me the... I see.
You know, there's one thing, though, that I haven't heard in any of these reports that I'd like your thoughts on in the next half hour, Steve, and that is... there's not been any acceptance. There's word of an offer. Will Vandy have an opportunity to try and woo him back? That's what I'd like to get you to talk about in the next half hour.
I have no idea, but part of the process is vetting the candidate. All right? Vetting doesn't take 45 minutes.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so he just had his 20th anniversary. You know what he told me, Bob?
Steve.
He went out and got his wife something with a gift certificate. I won him in golf.
You know what? You're going to have to get over that eventually. It's been over a year, all right? Listen, the conversation started is during the break. I said, hey, you know, we got a third anniversary. What is a gift for the third anniversary coming up? And I looked at him, I'm like, no, that's not going to happen.
Kevin Hurd taking re-gifting to new heights.
So you're getting nothing for your third anniversary.
Steve, here's a question for you.
Are you taking the day off? That's... really?
And it's right, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's what I called. Sean Bice brought up earlier about, you know, non-conference. Well, actually, Penn State played a pretty good non-conference schedule this year. Ole Miss, mm-hmm, St. John's, Pitt, so forth.
Yeah, there's some pretty top teams there.
Right. One year, though, they played at Kentucky. This is the year they went to the Sweet 16.
Right.
They played Kentucky. And what it was going to be was a doubleheader at Rupp Arena. It was going to be, I'm trying to remember what group sponsored it. It was supposed to be Penn State, Kentucky, and Arizona against Florida. And Arizona and Florida then dropped out. And so everybody's like, what do we do now? And Kentucky said, you know what, we'll still open the season with you. I said, great. So Penn State goes down there and wins the game like 77-73, something like that. Joe Crispin at 36. Joe Crispin at 31. John Crispin at 26. And so the Crispins combined for 57 points. And as the season kept going, suddenly Kentucky, they had Tayshaun Prince and those guys, started getting pretty good. In fact, they made the Sweet 16 as well. Well, Kentucky started winning and winning and winning. And every time they win, I'd look at Dave Baker and I'd say, Kentucky basketball. The gift that keeps on giving.
Amen. I was going to say something about Kevin and anniversaries, but it just...
No, we're past that.
I think, again, the golf certificate I want to use to get his wife an anniversary gift for the 20th.
Here's my actual question.
Fabulous.
Tomorrow afternoon at this time, do you believe that there will be a new Penn State football coach?
Yes.
Okay.
I have maintained since the beginning on Thursday last week that I said when we come back on Friday the 10th, we should know. So, I mean, and right now we're waiting because, but see, everything's gone quiet right now. There are a lot of assumptions being made. Well, it's so quiet right now that you haven't, you know, Penn State hasn't officially said anything. Vanderbilt hasn't officially said anything. And I think a lot of people really, at the moment, don't know what's going on. And I think that's where we are standing here at 4:39 on a Thursday afternoon, which is fine. Yeah. So we could sit here and wait. I'm certainly going to be very patient about it because I've got an Indiana basketball game to get ready for on Saturday. I've got a game coming up this weekend.
I was just thinking about all those press reporters and news photographers who have been assigned by their editors to the watch at the State College International Airport, monitoring every incoming private plane.
Let me give you a text that Jack sent me. Okay?
Yeah.
Jack sent me a text. He said, are you at baggage claim? This is this morning at 7:35. I texted back, I'm posing as a TSA.
Excuse me, Mr. Franklin, please empty your pockets.
So, look, we've had, you know, Jack and I have had a little fun with this.
No question.
So, because guess what? What else are we supposed to do?
It's just waiting. Yeah.
I know Jason asked if Allen Robinson would stay. Allen Robinson's going, okay?
So, is that cast in concrete going, or is it... Do you think he'll wait to talk to James Franklin before he does that?
I think once you file your paperwork, I think you now have fast-tracked yourself.
Yeah, you can't pull back, in other words.
I believe so, yeah.
I think that sounds right to me, too.
I remember there was a great story about Butch Davis at Miami. He said to Bryant McKinney, big offensive tackle, who, by the way, was on the Super Bowl-winning champion Ravens last year. He said, look, Bryant, stay. We'll win a national championship together. And McKinney thought about it, and made the decision to stay. And then a week after the NFL deadline passed, Butch took the Cleveland Browns job. So, it's like, uh-oh, whoops.
Yep. How many millions did that cost McKinney?
That didn't go so well. No, actually, he ended up being a first-round pick the next year. He got a ton of money. He's had a really, really good career. Here's a guy at one point, I think it was at Lackawanna Community College in Scranton.
He was being recruited, I know this, by Bloomsburg University to come out of Lackawanna. And he said, well, I really don't like the cold weather of northeastern Pennsylvania. I'm going to Miami.
Don't blame him.
No. Like, who could argue with that? And I think in the next 24 hours, I think we'll have actual real news and not speculation, which is a good thing.
I think so, too. I mean, I think so, too. I think we're at that. Look, I think there's been a process here. And in the process, it's been, hey, look, there are a lot of people that are extremely interested in this job, which there were. I mean, there was a point where a friend of mine got a text. They said, look, they had a resume of a guy, whatever, they wanted to pass along to Jan Bortner in the athletic department, who then passed. And Jan Bortner got it and went, holy cow, and he passed it along to Dave Joyner in the group. You know, it just was an indicator of like, wow, the people that were really interested in this job. I think as a search committee at that point, you sit down and say, okay, who can we identify that we think in this list is the best fit that we need to talk to? And then I think they went through the process of one by one of the people they selected to be in their final group, one by one to talk to them and do it face to face, doing it on Skype. Doing it on the phone is unacceptable in a situation like this because you have to do it face-to-face. You have to be able to read their body language, read their facial expressions, get a real feel as to the kind of fit they are with you and how they answer the questions or discussions, because these are not just questions. These are discussions, philosophical and so forth, about how they feel about academics. You know, what kind of system do they run? How do they want to handle this, that, and the other thing? So there's a lot of that goes along where you have to sit down and read them. I interviewed somebody one time on television who wrote a book entitled Being Digital. And this goes back 10 years, guys. So this is back, this guy emailed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I said, you know, he said, how much time a day do you spend emailing? He said, I spend about 4 hours a day emailing. Now, things have changed since. There's Twitter and Facebook and so forth. But this is when email was the predominant electronic communication. And he said, I email about 4 hours a day. And I said, don't you think that takes away from interpersonal relationships? And he said, no, I'm able to get in contact with many more people. I said, but what about just pure conversation where you can read, you know, how a person feels, draw out an emotion here and there? I said, like, take, for example, right now, I could tell by the look on your face you're not thrilled where I'm going with this.
and it shapes right. The questions.
Right. And so that's why you have to personally interview them face-to-face. And this committee has gone out, and they've interviewed people face-to-face. Well, then once you're done with that, you then sit down and say, okay, guys, let's get some impressions here. What does everybody think about X, Y, and Z? Okay, who would you like to settle on? Then you settle on that, and then you make the next step of going back down, taking the president with you, having them talk face-to-face, so the president at least feels like they're involved in the process, and then you make an official offer. But after the offer is made, or that's the person you want to go with, I think you get them then to agree to be vetted in this. And then there's the vetting process that goes through, because you got to make sure. So you don't want to put out there that there's an official offer to anybody unless you're comfortable that it's been fully vetted, and then you can make it public. And I think that's part of the process here that people aren't talking about. Joe in Greensburg's with us. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
I obviously live near Pittsburgh, and I've been listening to talk shows today, and it's not good. I mean, they're just taking Penn State to task for this hire, and I'm starting
Why
to feel
Why is that?
This rape case that's hanging over Vanderbilt.
Right. That's what I'm talking about, the vetting process, Joe. That's why I've talked about it extensively.
Yeah, and I'm starting to see some national writers start to really take shots at us, and that's starting to bother me and worry me a little bit. I'm not sure. I mean, I love the guy, but I'm not sure this is the right way to go, if it is him.
Joe, and this is what I've tried to point out to people. That's why when you hear there's no official offer, I think they want to say, are you interested? Yes, I'm interested. At that point, if that's the guy you want to go with, then you vet the individual. Once the vetting is done, then you make an offer.
Yeah, and what they're saying down here, and they're saying, I'm sure Penn State's done a lot of vetting with this situation, but they're saying once it comes to trials, if something comes out, it's not going to look good. And even before they go to trial, I mean, if you look, I guess Dennis Dodd wrote a scathing article about the whole situation.
Sure.
And I guess it's going to go on and on, and I don't know, it's just bothering me a little bit, and we just don't need any more bad publicity. We really don't.
I think, Joe, what we need to do at this point is to see exactly who the candidate is instead of educated guessing on the candidate, and then you can really get it. And if it turns out it's the individual that you're talking about, James Franklin,
right,
then we'll get into it a little bit more. But until it actually is that name, then I've done this lay low thing. I've talked a lot openly in the show about all the various candidates, whether writers on left and right, but at the same time, I've taken a cautious approach to all this, because until something really is out there, then we'll go in that direction. So I'm not ready to jump the gun in this just yet.
Oh, you should live here in Pittsburgh.
does it make for interesting radio to do it that way? Absolutely. I think we're trying to do smart radio here. Not perfect, but we're trying to do smart radio here, because I think the Penn State fans deserve to have that. I mean,
I agree.
People would love to hear me say it's X guy.
Right.
And I'm not willing to say it's X guy, because there's still an air of mystery as to what's going on here, and there's a process that's not complete yet. And there's a big step in this process that's not complete yet.
And that's why you're the pro that you are, because it's intelligent talk. The talk we get here down here is just if you just got to turn the radio off, you can't listen to it anymore. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
That's why we have the web, Joe. That's why we have the web, and I'm thrilled you're on the web listening to us
Thanks
at WKRK.com. Love the scream. Joe, thanks. Bye-bye. Tony in Shamokin is next. Hi, Tony. Thanks for waiting, my friend.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm well.
We're probably not a school with less experience at hiring a head coach than Penn State. I mean, that's obvious. But I think with the hire of Bill O'Brien up just recently, and take Franklin and Golden for the finalists this time, they've done a pretty good job.
I agree.
And I don't think that, I mean, talking about what the national press says, I really, anymore, I don't care what the national press says. They're going to find something wrong with Penn State, they're going to run with it. It's just that simple. I don't even pay attention to them. And
well, I think what we've discovered, Tony, is that once a narrative gets established nationally, it then becomes a repeated hurdle trying to clear it all the time, and it's not easy.
It's not easy, and it's frustrating, and what really frustrates you is usually the lack of facts. Every reporter, it seems to me, wants to be the first one with the story. Nobody wants to verify what they're reporting.
We've tried to take that approach here, and I've done a good job of holding Kevin off big time on this.
I was going to tweet that I got an offer, but he said no, don't do that. I didn't do that.
But Penn State, I think they're doing a heck of a job, and they've done it ever since the last two coaches. And I think they'll succeed this time, and I think everybody will be happy with what we end up with.
I think that of the two guys that everybody thinks of, and obviously the world seems to think the lean is James Franklin, either one of the two guys I'm thinking of, Penn State's going to win. Penn State has now turned the corner. They've turned the corner, and now I think in turning the corner, there'll be another step in turning the corner that will move them forward, and then after that, I think they become a dangerous program again.
And we can only hope, and that's what I predict. So I hope I'm right.
Good. Hey, I think you are right, Tony. Tony, thanks. We'll talk again after the real hire happens. Thanks. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Okay. Save it for the Olympics.
Yeah, great great bumper music from Kevin.
Thank you. I like that one, too. Incredible. I thought that was good.
Okay. Now, do you want to know why I've been taking a cautious approach to this?
Yes.
Okay. Jeremy Fowler's column this afternoon, CBSSports.com.
Just came out,
and the reason I mention this, it includes quotes. James Franklin talked to Vanderbilt Athletic Director David Williams Thursday and told him he has not accepted the Penn State job, but that he would talk with Williams later. He said he just called to let me know that the reports that he had accepted the job were not true. I think it was a call to say, I know what's being said, and as I've said, he'll be our football coach until he tells me he's not. That's a nice wide-open statement by David Williams, by the way. Very classy. I'm hoping that he will remain. He will be the one to let me know. He's just having to make a decision. Okay? So nothing's there. Bruce Feldman first reported that Franklin, the Commodore's 16-4 record last 20 games, was expected to be Penn State's next coach. Feldman points out that there's still many details to be hashed out in the next 48 hours. For a comparison, a 24-hour cycle passed between report servicing of Charlie Strong's taking the Texas job and Strong actually delivering the news to Louisville Athletic Director Tom Jurek that he was leaving. Negotiations take time, plus vetting takes time, too. When asked about the slow-bleeding nature of coaching, where negotiations eventually turned into jobs, Williams said, he said, I understand that, but I talked to him 90 minutes ago. Franklin has known for a while that where Vandy sits in the sweepstakes. They have fought to keep him. The Commodores restructured his contract for two consecutive years and are ready to do so again if necessary. He knows what our capabilities are and what our intent is and who we are, and I think we've demonstrated that, Williams said. I have all belief that when we open up against Temple next year, that James Franklin will be on the sidelines and he won't be coaching Temple. Williams said that if he has to hire a new coach, that Vandy is a better place than 3 years ago when Franklin left Maryland. There's no doubt about that. Where he was a coach in waiting. It's not the same program, he said. As of now, he's not entertaining a potential list of candidates. He says, I don't have a short list. I have a coach. All right, so that's Jeremy Fowler from CBSSports.com, who's been hot on this story for a while. He posted this at 4:26 this afternoon. So he posted it 30 minutes ago.
And we do have a link at the Facebook page, Steve Jones Show on Facebook. You can link and see the story.
Excellent. And one more thing to talk.
But again, I'm just telling you why this show has taken a cautious, wide-open approach. We've discussed every candidate on this show. There's not one candidate that's been publicly mentioned that we have not had a guest on that has told us a background story about that candidate. We've gone through all of that, but we don't have any word yet on who the actual final person is, and because of, and that there's been a process here. And I think part of that is that we've tried to respect the process in all of this. So I think now we wait. Kevin's going to go back to Flight Tracker, see what's going on.
Flight Tracker? I'm just going to head out to the airport, and I'll be live from the airport for the rest of the night.
I mean, Kevin was on Flight Tracker last night. And York Peppermint Patties had a whole shipment that landed. He went to that plane right away. It's just, it's not a perfect system we have here.
Tastes a sensation.
Hey, by the way, Shikellamy Wrestling on News Radio 1070, beginning at 7:06, as the Braves travel down to Snyder County to take on Midwest.
Rick Weibel, thanks. REW Financial. Go to REWFinancial.com or call 1-800-609-9484. Talk to you tomorrow.